Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Blue Coolant Drinkers! We are back, baby. We are back. We are just getting done with our holiday here. And on this Sunday night of November 26th, we are here to talk about what happened on Thanksgiving. It was not good. it was not a great game. We're going to dive into all that and where the Lions stand in the playoffs and the remaining schedule and all that. But before we do, let's get to the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the other two. We got UJ.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Rud Dog.
Yo.
So, gentlemen, Lions fans, the Lions lose 29-22. On Thanksgiving to the Packers, as 8-point favorites at home. This is the 7th straight loss on Thanksgiving for the Lions. We've had a lot of rough holidays around Thanksgiving lately. And honestly, 29-22, I don't think represents how bad this game was for the Lions in a lot of ways. I think at least, this was the opposite pretty much of the Week 3 game against the Packers in Green Bay, where they just got off to a lightning fast start. We could not catch up. And turnovers. Just an absolute killer. Yes. Jared Goff and this Lions offense has 6 turnovers in the last 2 weeks. There was one fumble on a kickoff. Are you guys concerned with the amount of turnovers our offense is committing in the last couple weeks? I mean, we can talk about the defense later, but... No for you, Rud Dog? Why is that? Why are you not concerned? Especially with Jared Goff and his fumbling. That's always a concern.
I think the NFL, once again, has confounded our ability to just see things. Like, when you want a throw is a throw, and a fumble is a fumble. I don't know. I just don't think that one fumble was a fumble.
I thought it was clearly a fumble. So.
Well, I disagree. But anyway, I don't care. Oh, my God. Like, all of it, all of the negativity, people need to just, like, calm the F down. And I say the F down. Calm the F down. Like, seriously, this team is the same team. This team has been, they were on a 3 games in 11 days, and they won 2 out of 3. Like, the Packers said it themselves, like, looking forward to this one. We've been waiting for this one. Like, what? Like, so that means they were probably, from the day we whooped their butt last time, they were marking the calendar for this one. Meanwhile, we had 4 days where we actually thought about them. So, you know what? Shit happens. It's the NFL. It's a tough game. None of this looks like it's, like, systematic. Like, you know, the O-line struggled a little bit. Goff's, like, turnovers and fumbles are not, like, some, like, super endemic thing. I just don't buy it.
UJ.
Kind of a lot of what Rud Dog just said there. 3 games in 11 days is a lot. And I know if I were the Packers, after being embarrassed the way we embarrassed them early in the season, that's the only game I'd be looking at, like, all year. Just like to get total revenge. Mm-hmm. And I'm not blaming Goff's fumbles or the refs. I'm blaming Tracy Walker, if I'm going to blame anybody, for this loss, because – one play set the whole tone for the game, and that was the very first play of the game where they threw a bomb. And then, you know, Cam Sutton was out there chasing his dude, and the safety is supposed to be there to help him out, but the safety let him get behind him, and Jordan Love just threw a long, long, long pass for a huge gain, and that just set the tone for the whole game. So, Tracy Walker, I'm sorry, buddy, but that one's on you. But all kidding aside, I'm not overly concerned right now. They had a long go of it here. I think this week and a half, so the next game will help them out a lot, kind of refocus a little bit. And I wouldn't be surprised if we had a huge game next week. So, yeah, I'm not overly concerned. Yeah, they are concerned. The fumbles are a concern. Okay.
No. So I mean, my concern isn't the offense, because I think we've seen them. And they got that last touchdown to maintain their 20-point game streak, too. Well,
here you go, Z. Are you concerned about the fumble that I just think was not a fumble because – of Goff or because of the guy who got in there and easily hit his arm as he was throwing it? Because that to me was more of a concern in this game than Jared Goff's. Like, why was Jared Goff scrambling for his life? Why was he get his arm getting hit as he's
throwing? This is our offensive line's worst game of the year by a wide margin. I thought,
I just don't see
Corby Sorsdahl got benched midway through this game. He's been horrible the last two games. He's been the worst rated offense player the last 2 weeks. He's allowed like over 10 pressures in two games. The fumble was Sorsdahl's guy from the right guard spot, or left guard spot.
I think his guy got the initial pressure and the second guy got it, but it was hard to tell. I don't know.
Either way, he got benched. He was not playing good. And they need Jonah Jackson back badly, because they lost their depth, especially with Big V getting hurt. When Big V was there, at least they, like, you know, someone else went down, they had someone else to plug, but that's just one less guy to plug. Now I don't think they drafted Sorsdahl with the intention of starting him this year.
I gotta say, though, it's great to
fill in
the
to
reps.
A degree, but yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, definitely the experience is great for him.
All that's a
it's going at a cost to our quarterback, but
But you can't really blame him alone, because I watched Decker get toasted. I watched Glasgow get toasted. Sewell got beat. Like, no one played great on that O line. I can't think of maybe Decker, Ragnow. I don't think I saw him for sure. But I'm just that O line played bad. So to put it all on Sorsdahl even doesn't really fit.
You know, I think just the team just sort of kind of hit a midseason wall here. They've had a long go of it. When you're winning as much as they've been winning, and it's a lot of pressure to keep the winning up. And I think they kind of sort of tightened up in this game a bit. Mm-hmm. They didn't look as loose as they normally did. I've experienced this at a lesser level when I played in high school and college, but these guys are under a lot of pressure. And I think Campbell's teaching these guys how to win, right? Okay, we learn how to win on the road. We learn how to win a tight game. We learn how to win this kind of game. Well, there's another element to learning to win is winning consistently. Mm-hmm. It gets really hard when you're the top dog and everyone's gunning for you.
Right.
It takes a new kind of thing that these guys got to learn, and they're learning it.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not overly concerned, because this is all part of that process, you know, and these guys mm-hmm. are learning. They're going to have games like this sometime.
And like, it doesn't matter how many cool, like turns of phrase Dan Campbell comes up about, like, how we're going to be on your front porch or whatever when you're getting hunted, because hunted is getting hunted. People know who you are. You got a target on your back now. Like, no one's going to, like, and you know what? Think about it this way. The NFL, these guys, like, you know, they got a shit ton of pride. Like, if you're the Packers and you got spanked by the Lions like that, and like, it's a 3-game losing streak to the Lions on top of it. Like, you know what you feel about this team. If you're the Packers, you're not thinking, oh, this is a good Lions. You're thinking, fuck this. How are we losing this fucking Lions? Let's have some pride. Like, geez, like they don't want to let, they're not going to just let some up and start team come up and run through the league. If they see some new team who starts winning a bunch, they're going to say, prove it. And they're going to come out and try to put their foot on our throats every game. And they're going to have a target on their back. They're hunting us. You know, maybe we're hunting them back, but it don't matter. The efforts, the level of intensity we're going to get is going to be consistently higher than we're used to. And
well, I'll tell you what I'm concerned about. I'm still concerned about our defense. I've not seen an improvement in a few weeks here, and it's starting to get really concerning. And I don't want to say I was right, but I mean, Jerry Jacobs is a third cornerback. That's what I've been saying over and over. And he had a horrible, he was probably the worst defender on the field in this game. They continuously targeted him, which is something that we see every week. He gave up over 100 yards. He gave up 10 of 11 of completions thrown his way. Christian Watson just owned him all game. And again, I don't know if that's a product of too much time to throw in the pocket. That's definitely a contributing factor. But Hutch is constantly getting double teamed. If you can go back and like people, you know, I know some people are out there like, where's Hutch? Where's Hutch? Well, he's facing two guys every play. Now I watched the Browns today and Myles Garrett, and he could beat two guys, but he's still a slightly different beast than Hutch, but that's a rare case. But most of the time, you want to see Hutch get this, like the one-on-one, or at least if he's getting double teamed, that means everybody else is taking on a single on a one-on-one pass rush. And
that's,
we're not seeing that second guy win ever. And
it's created a recipe.
That's a concern.
There's an obvious recipe out there, Z. Like the recipe to beat Hutch, double team him, triple team him, most plays, pick your shots when you're going to leave him single coverage, probably a play action play. And now he's where he's, yeah, or a quick screen, whatever. But like you chip him, you double him most plays, and then the plays when he's not getting double teamed, maybe trick him with a, you know, slow him up with a run fake, and now he's got to, you know, convert run defense into pass rush, and that's really hard to do. And if no one else is picking up the slack, then it's just going to be really hard for him to get anything going, and no one really has. Like Romeo hasn't stepped up. Hey, it was Pascal's first game at other end, at least as far as I've seen, where he like consistently lined up as the bookend, and I only saw him get one good pressure all day. Like, and it was, I pulled our grandpa's move. I said, Pascal hasn't got a single pressure today, and then sure enough, that play, he got right to the quarterback and failed to get the sack, but he got there and pressured him.
Well, I think this is why we were
sacks, but
I think this is why we were seeing the coaching staff trial like Campbell on the edge early. Midway through the season, Barnes a little bit lined up out there. Maybe they should revert back to that. I mean, somebody needs to put the pressure on the quarterback outside of Hutch. I mean, Ali McNeil has stepped up to a degree. But, I mean, outside of those two, it's been
Think about when we took off last year.
There's been a couple games where it took over, like, the Raiders' terrible offensive line or something like that. But
well, hey, let me ask you.
Go ahead,
Sorry.
I was talking to Red Dog about this, and we have a difference of opinion, but it seems like the Lions have gone a lot more to a zone coverage in the secondary, and I personally think this is part of the formula that is not working right now.
I think
especially since we're not getting a pass rush, it's easier to pick a zone apart.
Are we doing zone
for a quarterback?
I see every time I see Jerry getting beat, it's in.
Yeah,
man,
that's
coverage.
What I'm asking. See what is his? Maybe he knows the stats on this, on how, you know. I mean, we're doing it just from our naked eye watching, but
I don't know off the top of my head, unfortunately.
The way I see it is Jerry's always getting beat when he's in man. Like,
hopefully next podcast I'll be able to kind of break that down more. I would look into it further. The Lions last year were notorious for playing,
a lot of man,
like highest in the league by a wide margin. But then, like early in the season, they're playing a little more zone, especially against the Chiefs. That was notable then for that game. I don't know where they stand, but I agree with you, Red Dog. It seems when Jacobs is getting beat, it is in man. But I don't know the answer. But
just one more thing to you.
What I do know is we're rushing four unsuccessfully.
See, to your point though about this D line, like to me, there's the clear thing. The difference we're missing, like, is from last year when we were really turning things on, is James Houston's presence. Like, it doesn't have to be Houston, but you need that guy that Houston provided last year. When we took off, starting with that, like, right before the Bills game, and then the Bills game, and then after, like, Houston was adding that other dynamic pass rush threat and racking up sacks, you know, getting Hutch free to do his thing, and we're missing that right now. So, like, if we get, like, Irvin healthy, I think he could potentially provide some.
Yeah, 73-year-old Bruce Irvin. He's the answer.
He's 36 or whatever, but I mean, like, he's an older dude, but like at least he knows what he's doing. He might be able to like offer something across the line on like rush downs at least, or pass downs. But hey, and I'm sure plenty of the critics out there are starting to notice that Kayvon Thibodeau already has 10.5 sacks this year.
Yeah, he's been a beast. I don't know if he watched any of the Giants games, but he has been taking over in some aspects.
I ain't given up on Hutch or anything yet, but honestly, that doesn't surprise me. Thibodeau looked like the kind of guy who I'd be surprised if he didn't get sacks. But like, I think I'm not sure how his run defense and all that is, but we clearly need that other rusher. Someone else needs to step up and arise to the surface as someone who can get consistent pressure on the quarterback opposite of Hutch, so that you can't just focus on taking Hutch out of the equation.
So who is going to be that guy? Is it, do we have to wait till Christmas time for James Houston? That's a lot of weight to put on the shoulders of an undrafted free agent who's played
six
games.
we can beat teams without it, but hopefully we don't have do they have a mobile quarterback for the Saints? I don't know.
No, they do not.
Kirk Cousins we could take. I think we don't need a.
Well, he's out for the year.
Oh, so. God. Who do they have
now? The Minnesota does have a mobile quarterback.
Oh, so. No. I think we're going to figure it out. I think Dan Campbell in this long break here, they're going to figure some serious things out. He's going to put his focus on a few specific keys, probably something to do with that, and we're going to see dramatic improvement.
Well, I was hoping Connor would be on the pod because he's, he's discussed getting rid of Glenn several times. So I wanted to have him come on here and, defend his position.
I'll ask you, Z, then what do you think about Glenn in all this? Where do you think his level of culpability in like the lack of pass rush is?
It's tough. I think I was kind of asking because I mean, from year one to now, would you say the defense is greatly improved?
Significantly.
You could have said that for a while, but right now it's like we
year one. I would say year one, year two. I'd say sure, it's improved. Year two to year three, I'd say it's about on par.
Year one to year two and a half, maybe. Because are we just gonna forget the epically bad start to last season? But
this year,
we've been consistently like a top six. I think we were ranked 16th overall. Like we're I think we're on across the board a way better defense. But we still have some issues. I think it's clear. It's not even like it's painfully obvious. We're consistently stopping the run, but a couple of these games we've gotten run up on. But like, who hasn't? Like, we just watched the Bills give up like 30 plus points. Like, what defense doesn't give up points in this freaking league? Like, I don't know any.
I mean, scoring this year in the NFL is a 20-year low. So, a lot of people aren't scoring points this year.
Low or no points. Anyway, I just don't see.
It's been in 20 years.
I think it's clear we're better. I just don't not as much as we'd like to be better. Like we still have a ways to go. Like if you look at the 49ers or the Eagles and their D lines, like we have Hutch and maybe McNeil. You could kind of throw into that equation, but then to compare to like the rest of their guys, they got like Bosa, Kinlaw, freaking like whatever, or Reddick and Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, and like they can list off like several. Like elite players on their front. Our guys are mostly no namers, except for like Hutch and maybe Liam building his name this year. But like I think it's clear our roster has not ascended just yet. We're still in that part of the project where we're starting to be really consistent and solid competitors, but like the roster is not elite yet. Not in that part yet. Not on our front seven.
Yeah. And the Lions defense has given up 29 or more in four of the last five games, so yeah, it is a concern. Like the Lions offense has scored 30 points, or we're going to lose, basically.
I mean, you can be concerned
80% of the time last weeks. But
that also tells me it's something that's scheming, because we were shutting down people pretty good early in the season, and all of a sudden we're not.
What about quality?
So what did they figure out? Are we playing just us playing that much different, or are they just onto our scheme?
I would assume the latter. That's how this league works.
Yeah, and we haven't adjusted.
Yeah, try to adjust.
We have not adjusted.
And here's the thing, too. Like, points-wise, points, you can't just look at points for the whole story because, like, let's talk about those six turnovers. Like, how does that help our defense? Because it sure as hell does.
It does not.
And so, like, this defense, I agree, has been spotty and struggling right now. But to just say they're the problem right now, the offense, we've been struggling as a team right now. I think that much is clear. Like this team struggles and loses together, wins together. Like, and that's, for better or for worse. But like the offense, letting down, honestly, is to me the bigger concern. The clear weakness on this team is our pass rush. I'm going to say that much. Like, if I saw one place I could just start pumping roster, like, you know, talent into, it's clearly the pass rush. Because our offensive line, even, like, I'm not concerned about. I think they'll bounce back after a rough week last week. Like I just think that pass rush is the only real deficiency, sort of, at, like, in terms of talent. I just don't, like, I think the rest of our team is pretty solid. Even our secondary, I think Jerry can hold up behind even a decent pass rush, and we haven't even gotten that lately.
No, we have not. No, we have not. And, you know, maybe a get-right game is the Saints, who have, that's who we're playing on December 3rd in New Orleans. They're struggling offense, for sure. Derek Carr, not mobile, which is great for us. They've been up and down, but they are not an elite offense by any means. It could be a great get-right game. I thought the Packers would be that, though, Jordan Love and his 57% completion percentage. Well, that was not the case, clearly, on Thanksgiving.
It was in Gibbous, though, so, you know, like, maybe it's all for nothing. Like, maybe that was pointless. Maybe, maybe you just can't.
Yes,
fight
the moon was working against us this game. That's the fate.
Yeah, right. Gibbous moon.
It was already written in the stars that we'd lose this game, so we were going against fate, basically. I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this saw the stack going around that the Lions were 0-7 on Thanksgiving games when there's a waxing gibbous, right? A waxing gibbous moon phase.
I just heard.
Well, now they're 0-8. That was per Jay Kuda on Twitter/X.
I'd also say, I bet if we lose that Bears game, we win that Packers game. Like, I just felt like we were riding that rail, and especially the way we pulled out that Bears game. You get that win, and maybe it doesn't get you to that level of introspection you quite need, because you get the win to sort of glaze things over. You know, I'm sure they tried, but you had 4 days. Like, I think if they leave that game with a loss, they show up with a whole different attitude to face the Packers a little bit. You know, like, they're going to be a little more checked, a little more the burst. Like, I think they were as a bubble. There was a bubble being built. And we seem to be winning at a consistent, like three games, win, one loss. Like, you know, like, we pace out our losses pretty nicely, I think. And we always seem to build a little bit, and then we let down. We build a little bit, we let down. And, I mean, honestly, we're 8-3. So, like, anyone freaking out, we're 8-3! Like, come on.
We're already in three. Yeah. I remember a 6-2 Lions team that did not make the playoffs, though, Red Dog. That's in the back of my head.
I remember that one.
Oh, you Lions fans are frustrating folks.
You're not in. You're not in until you're in. So
that's true.
You're not wrong.
I ain't cashing nothing, but I ain't also getting freaking out here either. I'm with Dan. I'm not going to go into desperation, or I'm not about to start going into what did he say? He said something like that. Not about to panic here. There's no reason right. to panic. Like, you, it's all about fine tuning.
And kind of what you were saying earlier, Red Dog. I was kind of telling you this. I can't remember what exactly, but kind of what you were alluding to in terms of this is year three. Campbell and Holmes both have like 6-year contracts. Like, they're building. I mean, there's a reason they didn't make a trade at the deadline, right? They're not all in on this year. They're building for a larger future. And to some degree, they might even be slightly ahead of schedule with this record. They want to make the playoffs this year. That was their goal, I think. I mean, in the larger scheme.
Win the division.
They want to win the Super Bowl.
They want the division. That's their first goal.
What I'm saying is that they're not like at the point where they're ready to go all in to win a Super Bowl, I guess, and that are trying to play the longer game. So, like, in some ways, the Lions are exceeding expectations in terms of maybe their timeline that they have, and that's why they didn't, like, trade, like, a second rounder for Montez Sweat or something like that.
I think you're 100% accurate, Z. Like, Brad Holmes did not offer any draft picks from this year for any of the players available. He would not touch this next year's draft. Like, I think he sees this as the final foundational draft of this sort of rebuild. Like he, the way he's built this team, like, if you get another hit draft like this year in the last 2 years, like, this team will be looking at serious comp, not to mention another free agency with more legit talent added. Like, I think next year we're looking at like the year. But the thing is, I don't think he's building for a all in. Why do you want to build for all in and risk everything for 1 year? That's not what you want. You want to build consistent success. You want to be the Steelers. You want to be, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, who every year, year in, year out, they're competitive. They have a solid roster. They know that when they show up, they're going to probably win most of their games that year. And I mean, that's what we're going to see these Lions become, the team that is built for sustained success so that every year could be a Super Bowl run, not so that, you know, we could be the Rams and be like, oh, we got ours, which, hey, they got it. Great. Now what are they going to be? Maybe they'll keep up. They'll find a way to sustain it. But I think they're going to struggle and they'll fall off and maybe never come relevant again. Like, not under McVay. But, like, I think we're built for sustained success, and that's what we're building towards. So don't go all in. Hold your cards. Really build your strength.
But Rudd Dog was the one Super Bowl worth it for the Rams. That they went all in and they got it.
Yes, because that's what they chose to do. They chose to sacrifice the future for the now. So, yeah, hey, they got it. But I'm glad that we're not doing that. Like, we've wanted this for so long, and we finally have an organization that's built from top to bottom right. We haven't had that in my lifetime, probably the Lions, like, entire existence. So let's do it right. Like, let's not sell out and start risk sabotaging ourselves for home run hits that we don't need to swing for the fences. Let's just keep building steady and build this roster so deep, just like the freaking Eagles. Look at them, or the Steelers, or the 49ers. Those dudes are all going to be so good for so long, because even as they trade away parts, they got so many more parts. Like, we're going to be like that. I guarantee you next year, Brad Holmes is going to fill that D-line and front seven with talent. Like, we're going to see another tackle, another edge rusher. Like,
this is unrelated, but I'll throw this over to you, Jerry. Now, you know, I don't know how much you've watched the Eagles this year. Yeah. The Lions had a chance to draft Jalen Carter. They did not.
Yes,
they traded back. Do you think the Lions wish they, or do you, as a Lions fan, at least wish that they drafted Jalen Carter, because he is a beast. He's probably going to win Defensive Rookie of the Year.
You know,
I would love him on our defense. So
absolutely. But, you know, you can't have regrets. I think what they did was good, getting Jahmyr Gibbs, you know. So if we get Carter, we don't have Gibbs. So I don't know. You tell me. He would be great on our line. There's no doubt about it. But look forward, man. Don't look back.
The talent was never in question with this kid. Like, so, no. You know, that wasn't the reason they didn't draft him. They're building something for sustained success that involves a careful balance of chemistry, that Dan Campbell is building a team of people who are truly selfless, high character dudes with talent, who are going to sell out for their team, who are going to dedicate themselves day in, day out. Hey, maybe Jalen Carter does turn into that guy, or maybe he has a great rookie season, flames out in the offseason when he goes drinking and race car driving. I don't know. We don't know. And that's the kind of questions I felt like they didn't feel like that kind of gamble. He didn't fit what they were looking for. So I'm okay with it. Would it be nice to have that talent there? Undoubtedly. Like, dear God, he's a freak. Like, would I like to have that presence there? Sure. But do I think could he risk blowing up, like, some sort of chemistry on our team? Potentially. So I trust their judgment there, because I also love Gibbs. I love the potential of Campbell still. Like, I have no problem with it.
Yeah. It's a tough one, because, man, I just imagine him. I'm a broken record at this point in this podcast, but I believe building through the trenches first and foremost, O-line and D-line. And, man, just having him on our D-line would have added a lot more firepower. Maybe we wouldn't be talking about some of these things.
You're not
maybe
wrong.
Talking about if we had him. I just think that's harder to find than a running back, even one as special as Gibbs. And don't get me wrong, I love watching Gibbs on our team. It's been a blast. I think he's also a pretty special running back, but I do have some, like, wonderings, I guess.
So do you think then that maybe you would have rather taken Thibodeau for his 10.5 sacks right now?
Thibodeau would be getting double teamed as much as Hutch if he was our only.
Right.
But would he beat him?
David, the Giants have a better D-line than we do. It's a little.
They do.
Do they?
It's a little tougher to say.
Yes, they do.
I think at the time of their, like, pre-Hutch draft, I think we said, like, if Thibodeau actually put it all together, he'd have maybe a higher ceiling than Hutch. Well, maybe that's what's happening now.
Thing, honestly, like he clearly had that speed that Hutch didn't quite have, like that pure explosiveness. Like I mean, yeah. Hutch is very quick and explosive and athletic, but he's not like I think that's what really separates him from like a guy like Garrett. Like, is Garrett's got a little more twitch, you know, like because he's bigger, he's taller than Garrett, you know, like he doesn't have the long arms like Garrett, but like I think that twitch. Hutch is not a burner off the edge. Like he has to use technique or power,
or a spin move,
right? And that spin
move, he loves a spin move.
Everyone knows it's coming at this point. Like I don't think I've seen it win yet this year. Since like
I've seen it win a few times, but at the same time, I've also seen it lose a lot more than it wins.
Seriously, he needs the biggest thing with Hutch is he just needs to develop his pass rush strategy. Honestly, but like. He's still great. I think, honestly, I was watching that Florida State game, and that Verse kid would be just perfect on the other end. Like another 6'5", 260 dude. He's built just like Thibodeau, a twitchy, long pass rusher who could get some sack. Like I think we need someone else to step up. And I think we got guys who could potentially still do it, like a Julian or Romeo. Pull their heads out of their asses, or
can we get Dez Watson from Florida in a couple of years? That 400 plus pound defensive tackle.
I want him. He's awesome.
What a monster!
And he's
what
good.
A monster.
He got a sack and then split a double team for a run stuff. Like the dude's a freak. He's 6'5", 436.
Did you see like his lower body? It is absolutely massive. I don't think there's a toilet that man can fit on. Not a regulation size.
He is a monster. It was actually really funny because, like, I was watching it with my parents, and they kept. I'd be like, "There was a 400-pound guy," and they're like, "Is that him? Is that no?" I'm like, "No, you'll see him." And, like, they're pointing at dudes who are like 6'6", 360 pounds, and I'm like, "No, you'll know." Like, it's not those guys. Those guys look small.
Like, that guy came in the college 450 pounds, and he's dropped like 35, 40 since he's gotten there. So
I honestly like probably like Jordan Davis by the time he comes out, like another, like he'll probably lose a bit more of that weight.
Yeah, and that's wild.
He's a monster though. I am keeping unfortunately he's a freshman, so like that's so far out.
Right.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's focus on some of the positives from this game to a degree. I thought the run game was still pretty solid in this game. 31 carries, 140 yards, 71 for Montgomery, 54 for Gibbs. And I thought the Lions were going to stick with it a little more to get back into this game. I thought they went away from it a little too much. They stuck with it a little more. I think they could have helped themselves out in this game, especially with the way that they were dealing with the pass rush throughout the game. And at least Sorsdahl's a better run blocker and he's a pass blocker right now too, so I thought that would have limited that exposure. They did not.
You know, Z, though,
they also seem to get better in the hurry up offense too. And why can't we maybe earlier in the game maybe go to that once in a while?
Tempo,
you know, throw their timing up. You know,
yeah. I've wondered that often, UJ, not just for the Lions, any of these teams. Like when I see the Jets, for instance, like one of the worst offenses in a long time in the NFL. Under Zach Wilson, the only time you really see Zach Wilson like shine is under the 2-minute drill. So, like, why don't these coaches sprinkle that throughout? Just say, for this drive, F it. We're just going to go in 2-minute mode.
Well,
just to change it up, because clearly what you're doing is not working.
Some teams do build it into their strategy, like up tempo. But, like, I guess it could be one potential answer. I just off the top of my head is thinking that 2 minute drills also have a corresponding defensive shift usually, where they'll start right. playing more like reserve defenses and stepping, dropping coverage back, playing off coverage and things like that, where the defense basically starts changes their game plan and like starts opening up more. It's honestly, it's like prevent defense, prevent yourself from winning. Like it's so weird how that works, but you do this, you stop doing the thing that you had success with all game. And then all of a sudden the offense starts opening up on you. It's weird. But
I thought J-Mo looked good again in this game.
I
want them to feed him like 5-6 times a game.
Way more.
Cause man, when he catches it, just, and like that one over the middle,
I want
for 38 yards was beautiful. Like, oh, I want to see that more.
I want to see more aggressiveness out of our offense, because our offense is very much take what we give you until we need it. Like, and then we'll throw our deep shots. Why don't we just send J-Mo deep and take a shot early and just see what Goff can just throw it as far as you can. Like we don't see enough of like what they did to us out of the gate. Like throw a deep ball to Watson, throw a deep ball to J-Mo, whatever. Like just chuck it, you know, like we don't. I feel like our offense, and this is like my criticism of Ben Johnson a little bit, because I think he did call some wonky plays throughout the game. But
I would say the start of games, though, the Lions are one of the best in the whole league at starting games on offense.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he doesn't call a good offense. He does call like some decent downfield stuff, but he doesn't call super aggressive stuff. He takes stuff the offense or the defense leaves him out there, and that's so much about what we do is taking what we're given, and I don't see enough taking what we want unless it's on the ground. That's the only place I kind of see it. We run a lot and we try to just enforce our will there, but I don't see us enforcing our will in the pass game at all. Like our pass game is always just find the open guy. I don't see us throwing jump balls to the sideline. I don't see us, you know, doing 9 routes and just chucking it. Like I see us like finding, you know, reliable crossing, reliable in routes, reliable like hitches. When have we thrown a straight 9? The last one I remember was against the Bears, I think, and J-Mo was running it and Goff threw it short. I don't know why, because he thought maybe.
I think that happened in this game too. No,
no, I don't think we did throw a vert to him, but I don't.
We did one. Yeah, there was one.
There was. I thought there was. But it's always like at the end when we need it, and then it's just never a great attempt. Like I just do that more. Keep people honest. Press the depth of the defense. Like if you don't threaten the deep part of the field, at least sometimes, like it's just, you don't, the defense starts to kind of find ways to stop you. And maybe that's on Goff's arm. I don't know, but he's got a good arm when he chucks it. But
I'm not going to harp on that too much for the Lions, because actually Lions have like, they're like top 3 in most explosive plays in the league. Like that's 20 plus yard plays.
Explosive play. I'm talking about verticals here, man. I'm talking about deep plays. I'm talking about big plays where you chuck it. But we rarely see Goff just chuck it. You don't. You don't see a 9 route and him chucking it until we're needed at the end. And I haven't seen him come close to successful yet, really. Like,
okay, I want
to
see them pull the deep pass. It's underthrown. J-Mo comes back. He gets clobbered. Pass interference for 50 yards.
That's fine. That's
it's the best play in the NFL.
Those plays do that, though, but we don't see enough of it. I'm calling Johnson a little bit on this. Be more aggressive downfield sometimes. Do the kind of sideline routes where you can chuck it as far as you can to J-Mo. Maybe it catches it, maybe it doesn't. But now you know what? You got that in the back of your mind all freaking game. Instead, it's always like crossing routes or posts or flags.
Well, on Red Dog, you, Jay, go.
I was just going to say, Rod Dog, we're going to record your rant. We're going to go kidnap Ben Johnson. We're going to tie him down and make him listen to this over and over until he says, okay, I'll do it.
Okay, then.
I'm going to say, Ben Johnson, keep on doing what you're doing, buddy.
Except for that bubble screen in the red zone. That was
well, that was not call. Good. That was not good.
Oh, okay, Z. I guess you have criticism, too.
That was not a good play. Clearly, it wasn't a good play call. It didn't work. He's just saying hindsight, but I mean, yeah, that did not work.
No, I just think we need to like get a little more aggressive in our pass game, just a little more. That's all, and intentionally so, not be like, oh, like let's just look for what's there, because Goff is good at looking for what's there. But sometimes you just got to have that play where you're gonna do what you intend to do, no matter what. Like you just got to try to do that sometimes, and I just don't see that very often out of this Lions offense.
I thought Laporta looked great in this game again, too. He consistently is getting open.
That one block.
You know, it's not on him
to
block
side.
For the quarterback and on those routes. But what was that, Road Dog?
There was that one, I think it was a Gibbs play off the left side, and it was like he blocked that end like by himself to open up the run. I forget the, it was he's such a stud. He is just so good.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. It's hard to say, like, I want them to feed him more, I want them to feed James Hill more. We have a lot of talent on this offense. You know, which is fun. You know, there's a couple of other things I didn't mention yet. Since we're on the positive, I'll mention it. Rodrigo, nice
Rodrigo!
Catch in the flat for 6 yards.
First down.
Yeah. I like that. Now the future teams are gonna see that on tape. They'll see him as a receiving, like, this guy can catch out of the backfield. We're gonna have to like pay a little more attention to him maybe than a typical fullback that you see in the NFL.
I can't wait to see him.
Also, you know, he still hasn't played a lot of snaps at fullback, but maybe that's opening the gate a little more for him.
I'm looking forward.
I mean, they don't use fullback often in their looks, but
I'm looking forward to the fullback dive. I can't wait till he gets his hand off.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. That'll be a lot of fun. but I thought it was really cool. I mean, to show that, like, you know, that guy plays defense for a reason. Can't catch type thing. But no, he can clearly catch.
Honestly, that's exciting.
He's an athlete. He's an athlete. You know, he's just a little undersized, which is great for fullback actually, because it gives you leverage.
I agree. I think he's perfect for it. Honestly, I love the fact that because not every team is willing to just take a linebacker and try him on the other side of the ball, or you know, like I love that they're trying to figure out a way to get this kid on the field. And I think he's built perfectly for the fullback position. I love the development. I have high hopes for it. I think he could be a true weapon.
Yeah, definitely. Now the other side of things that we haven't discussed yet was Dan Campbell. And the Lions. No, was it Dan Campbell? You know, I don't know. But, I mean, it ultimately falls on him. Going for a fake punt on their own 20. You know, one time it worked against the Vikings. It was great. Well, the opposite happened here. It did not work. And I was praying they didn't run it. I was thinking it through my head when I saw it at the time. This alignment is not good for a fake punt, especially for the direct snap. And they did it, and it did not work. Like, they did not have the blockers. Like, you run it when you either have, like, at least even strength on the line, but not when you're outmanned by one guy.
They had the look earlier, too, Z. We had 4th and 3, and we punted, and it was exactly that look. They left the whole, like, A and B gap open. A direct snap would have, like, almost certainly got a first down, but we punted that time. And then that time, it was, like, full box. Not even like everyone on the line, like layered defense. Like, it was just the absolute worst look you can imagine to run that play into. And it wasn't even a dive. It was like a stretch play. He like didn't go forward right away. He ran sideways. Like, that is the worst kind of play you could possibly call right there. I think it was a bad call to go for it, even, and just as bad, if not worse, call to make it a run. Like, maybe a fake punt pass, like, or something for 6 yards, but like 6 yards up the gut, that's so much on a fake punt.
Yeah, UJ, I'm sure you're not a fan of the call either, right?
I was not a fan of the call.
Yeah,
I'm a fan in general of Campbell's aggressiveness.
Yeah,
In fact, in this game, he was just very stubborn with some of his calls. You know, we could have taken a couple field goals.
I agreed with him on those. So
I did on most of them, but let me just finish the thought, though. I mean, think if we had 6 extra points and we didn't give up that freaking fake punt right there that basically gave them a touchdown. Yeah. And we lost by what? A touchdown. So, I mean, in this case, his aggressiveness worked against him. But, you know, it works for him most of the time. So it's hard to fault him overall. But I think sometimes you got to kind of know when to keep it in the quiver, if you know what I mean.
And, you know, Z, I think that's another argument where to, like, calm down about this defense. Like, this defense gave up 9 points in, like, the second half. And 7 of them, or, like, most of them came off that one play, like, I mean, I know they didn't need to give up that touchdown, but they got a super short field on that freaking fake punt. Like that's on Dan Campbell more than the D, in my opinion.
Well, I have a question for you guys, too. Do you think the Lions are a little more aggressive, like, especially on the 2 where they could have kicked a field goal, went for it in a 4th, didn't get it? But do you think they're a little more aggressive because Riley Patterson isn't a very good kicker?
I have a feeling that plays a factor.
He's a liability to a degree for this team. They can't go for a field goal over 50 yards either.
Another discrepancy to compare us to the top teams in this league along with, you know, is like, watch what the Eagles did tonight, kicking a 59-yarder in the rain to tie it. Like,
I need the Patriots to win, and they couldn't make a 35-yarder.
That wouldn't even be on the table for us. We wouldn't even consider rolling Riley out at 59 yards. We would just go for it. Yeah. Like, we wouldn't consider rolling him out probably at 50. So I think you're on to something, Z. Dan will express his faith in Riley, I think that's, like, within the range. And plus, he missed a PAT to make things a little more difficult for us.
Right, so like, yeah. We got the points back, and then he kind of, like, sucked the air out of the room a little bit, missing that extra point.
Brutal.
We could have tied the game to start.
Yeah, we need to replace him. I have no problem with him as a person. I kind of like his personality,
right,
even, but yeah, he's just not talented enough for our role. Like, we can't be that. Like, you can't dominate the league like the Eagles are doing right now without great players across the board. Like, there's no room for scrubs. And not saying he's a total scrub, but he's pretty close. Like, I don't know. Like, he's barely a pro kicker, honestly.
UJ, you have faith in Riley Patterson.
Not really. But I don't think
he
didn't kick those short field goals because of Riley Patterson. I think he did it more because he's been getting away with it so much this year. I think he just thinks he can do it almost any time. And that's what I think. It wasn't working in this game, obviously. So, he just expects it to work.
You know, I mean, Riley Patterson, 13 of 15 kicking and 31 of 30. That was his first extra point he missed all year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, on a long field goal, yeah, Campbell will avoid it and he'll do something crazy on fourth down. But the shorter ones, I don't think he's really shied away from necessarily. I think he just goes for it on fourth because he thinks they're going to make it all the time.
And he's only had to line up for one game winner, which he hits against the Chargers. And he also tied it up against Seattle late, too, to make it 31-31.
I don't hate Riley in his comfort range. Like, I just don't – he just doesn't have a great comfort range. Like, it's below average probably for the league, I'd be willing to bet. Like,
yeah, no, but the question was, is he going forward and forth just because of Riley Patterson? I don't think that's the answer.
No, I still think
– I don't think so.
I think Dan – this is what I truly believe about Dan Campbell's psychology. I think Dan Campbell absolutely hates punting and settling for field goals. I think he wants nothing but a touchdown on every single damn drive, and that's his default. So every time he hits a fourth down, his instinct says, go for it. Fuck it. Like, I think that's Dan Campbell. He hates giving the ball back. But, you know, I think that's what he's been reeling in this whole time. He has to, like, find that sweet spot where he does the right thing. Because sometimes I do think he costs us points, like, by not just kicking it. But I don't know. I love the aggression.
But in the Chargers game, he won us the game by going for it.
So. Exactly. So I love the aggression. I love erring on the side of aggression. And Dan Campbell's clearly on the side of aggression. He just needs to find that sweet spot where he doesn't overdo it, like going for it on fourth and six with a fake punt that everyone saw coming.
Yeah. Well, let me just get into the last line schedule here. So there's one, two, three. Six games left in the season.
Yeah.
Obviously, Lions 8-3 right now. As far as the standings in the playoffs, they are the 3 seed right now if the season ended today. The Eagles won again late, this time in overtime. They just keep on winning these ridiculously close games. I think the Eagles are very beatable, though. They keep escaping these one-score games. I think they're due to... There's always a regression for these things, especially in one-score games. Historically, if you win a bunch in a row, you're due to lose a bunch in a row. Kind of like betting.
Anyway, the Vikings last year.
Yeah, exactly. The Vikings, great, perfect example. Some people would argue Vikings are better this year than they were last year, and they won 13 games last year. Anyways, Eagles, 1 seed, 10-1. San Francisco, 8-3. Are the 2 seed, and that's because they have a better record against NFC opponents than the Lions. Lions sit at the 3 seed. Falcons are the 4 seed. They won today. They're 5-6, but they're the 4 seed. They would play the Cowboys, who are 8-3. Minnesota, 6-5. Seattle, 6-5. Green Bay, only 1 game out of the playoffs, 5-6. So maybe the Lions will meet them again in the playoffs, possibly.
Bring them on.
And my house would be divided.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, no, that's funny. That would. No, there was, like, this guy on YouTube who's, like, he's weird. He's a Packers fan that's been, like, covering the Lions and, like, slowly falling in love with, like, what they're doing.
Who is?
After this game, he had, like, a weird, like, meltdown and was all, like, I don't want to even see the Packers in the playoffs because they're scary. Like, calm the F down. Okay, I know they served us our lunch this week a little bit, but, like, honestly, to, like, what you said about this game, I thought, if that game was like 4 minutes longer, we win it. Like, I think we were turning the ship around. Like, I think we're still the better team. We just, it just, they got out on us on top and we made some mistakes and they got us that game. But like, I, like, we, you saw us reeling them in that game. Like you saw us, like, if that game went a little bit longer, we were the ones coming for them. Like, and we were going to get it. I think we win that game if it was a little longer, but you know, it is what it is. Like, maybe not, but it doesn't matter. The point is, we were focusing down, and this is what gives me more faith about this team. Even as that game looked like it was out of hand and everyone knew it, like, felt like it was over, you watch them just lock in and slowly just try to, you know, reel it back in. And it's just too little too late, but, you know, a lot of games haven't been too little too late. They usually get it done. Like, and so I believe in this team. Yeah, we're struggling.
Getting back to it, the Lions would play the Vikings if the season ended.
Was I off topic?
Yeah, I like saying it. I mean, it the season ends today. The Lions will be playing the Vikings at home. Now, the Vikings still have the Monday night game tomorrow. So if they lose, then they would be Seattle. Then the Lions would be. So in that range. But anyways, always fun to see. AFC Chiefs, Jaguars, and Dolphins, and Ravens all tied for the best record.
Jags, good.
Anyways, that's the playoff standings and such. The Lions are still far from clinching the division. They have a long way to go. Oh, yeah, the schedule.
Two Vikings.
At New Orleans, at Chicago. Two tough games. I mean, Chicago obviously is going to give us hell.
No kidding.
Such a division game, especially the second time seeing at this, especially Chicago. The way we won last game. They're going to be pissed. You talked about how the Packers came out to get us. I think the Bears will be coming out to get us, too, especially with Fields playing for, his job, basically. Then Denver, we are home for a Denver team that is surging rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
A game that we thought maybe 2 months ago was like probably going to be a cakewalk, and we put up 50 points. That is not the case. They've won six in a row.
I think we're going to put up 60
season end today. It's pretty crazy. Then we are at Minnesota, at Dallas, and then home against Minnesota to end the season. Let's hope we have the division wrapped up by then. But it's a long, six games is a long way to go.
It is.
In the
it.
NFL.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so happy there's still six games left. I thought about that the other day. I'm like, is the season almost over? Oh, no, we got six whole games left. This is great.
Yeah. It's still weird that the season ends not like on New Year's, like that kind of time frame, but the week after New Year's. It's still kind of weird to me.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, it always goes into the next year anyway, so I don't really.
those two games are noon, and then the Broncos one's TBD, it says, and then the last game of the season as well. Those are always TBD. The Cowboys won Saturday night football, I believe.
Hey, Cowboys they've been pretty solid this year too. Like, they look a little more composed, I feel like, than like.
Well, they have Micah Parsons.
I wasn't even thinking about Micah, but I was thinking more about Dak, like looking more settled and consistent. Like, honestly, like their team has looked like that team that's like wins a lot of games, but like is like always a little shaky in the last several years. Like for they have a decent record, but like you can't ever really rely on them as like a real contender. But like this year, I don't know, man. I think that game's gonna be a real tough game.
Yeah. Well, the Cowboys are notorious for beating up on the bad teams really badly, and then not beating any of the good teams. They're the good bad team, or the good bad good team. The second one.
I don't know.
Okay.
Did you, Jay, bring up how the Eagles have been winning for so long now earlier?
He did.
Okay, good. I couldn't remember. Sometimes we talk so much Lions that I can't remember which conversations were on the pod and which ones were private. But, I think that's a big deal. Like, the fact that we haven't been winning very long, you know, it takes a long time to learn all the lessons that get great.
The Lions have not been winning for a long time. Are you sure?
Let me check my math.
You positive? We just had Matt Patricia as our last head coach. We were on.
Oh, hey, you guys want to get really mad? Actually, here, let's look at this. No. The 2019 draft when we picked Hockenson at 8, when we could have had like who was it? Brian Burns, who everyone wanted us to get this year.
Ed Oliver, right?
Ed Oliver, that kid everyone wants to sign from Tennessee this year. That D tackle who was a stud.
Simmons?
Yeah, Simmons.
That's a little different because he had a medical issue. But
I mean, the point is, like, there's like four or five like legit interior and DNs that went after Hockenson that year. And freaking, if we would have taken one of those guys, like this would be a-
well, even I think Derek Brown over Akuda in that draft too would have been helpful.
Oh,
Derek
Brown's
been a solid tackle. Would have
sucked. Yeah, listen, Ed Oliver, Devin Bush. Oh, here, just to make it more relevant, Rashawn Gary went after Hockenson at 12 to the Packers. Yeah, would have been nice to have him in that game, wouldn't it? like, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's easy to shit on this stuff, but it's easier to shit on the old stuff than the new stuff. I still think Brad's got a
Yeah, but if we didn't draft Hockenson, he would end up on a team like in our division, like the Vikings or something. Oh, wait.
Yeah, right.
But we got some good stuff for that trade though too, so
yeah,
it wasn't all bad.
What did we get?
Draft picks.
Which one? Who? What did it turn into?
I don't know.
What did it turn into? Is it the guy we got? Is it Laporta? Did it turn into Laporta, or did it turn into Branch? If it turned into Branch, I'm okay because I still think Branch is just ascending. I think he's gonna keep getting better.
I believe it was Branch.
Like, I think he's like ready to start popping again. Like, he's kind of had some quiet, other than his penalties, he's been kind of quiet like lately.
We got a 2023 second round pick, which I believe was Branch. So,
yeah,
we traded up with him.
And then we get the third, and then their third round pick this year.
Oh, there we go.
Nice.
Yeah, I guess everything's nice. Balances out.
Which maybe stuff. The Lions can use to move up in the draft. To get an extra piece rather than wait to the third round to get a guy like Broderick Martin, who is a non-participant on the Lions for the most part.
I mean, he's a fourth round pick. Are we?
Yeah,
really,
I mean, this is what the Lions have been doing to a degree, though, with some of their guys. They just kind of let them develop and hopefully turn out. But I mean, it would have been nice to get some help in the third round with that pick, especially when you trade up for it didn't trade up for it, it'd be a little different, but they traded up for him.
For Broderick?
For a guy that's not ready to play.
Well, basically. Hey.
But maybe he's different what they expected. If you look at the tape, I don't know what they expected.
If he pans out next year, I'm fine with it.
Well, yeah, obviously. We'll all be fine with it if he pans out. But right now, it's not panning out.
But I'm also okay with casting. What did we get him in the third round, you said?
Right, we traded up for him at the near the end of third.
Oh, did we pick another third round pick, too? Or was he the only third round pick? Anyway, I'm just saying, like, I'm okay with taking a guy like him for a cast at the future is all with a third rounder. And you know, like, the better your team gets,
with you here.
The less, like, the better your team gets, every draft round after one is less likely to start. You know, like, your second rounders are less likely to start the better
Hendon
you are.
Hooker. We got Hendon Hooker.
Ah.
I don't know why I didn't remember. Oh,
and I'm
no
not
wonder we didn't
lie.
Remember.
As much as I love JG and I still really believe in his abilities and stuff, like every time he does bad, like, because he does look bad in like a way that makes you feel like you just hear this whisper in the back of my mind.
Well, I think the thing the Hooker could offer that Goff doesn't is just the mobility piece. Like, Goff has absolutely none whatsoever.
It's not just that, though, unfortunately. Cause
it's not Peyton Manning bad, I suppose. But.
You watch some of these other guys, like Herbert or something, and the way they can just flick the ball downfield. Like, did anyone else think Jared was, like, really, like, railing his passes in this last game? He looked tense. He was, like, trying to, like, drive the ball downfield weird. Like, it didn't look like his normal casual, just put it where it needs to be, throws. He was trying to throw ropes, and it didn't look like him. But, like, guys like those more talented passers are, like, physically more talented, like, can, like, kind of just flick it, you know? Like, it just gets there. And he doesn't quite have that level of arm.
Lions could have drafted Herbert, too.
Oh, I'm okay. Well, yeah. Who do we get? Cuda? Well, thank God for that. Yeah, if only we knew Stafford was going to bail on us that year.
Well, I think it's time to wrap up this pod.
Wait, Z.
Oh, sorry,
you
know, UJ.
Yeah, he needs an honor. I haven't had much chance to talk on this pod.
What?
Because someone's been talking a lot. Mm. But I just have a message for the fans.
My bad.
I have a message for the fans out there, the ones who are like falling off the train here. You know, they're doubting the Lions here, despite this great season we're having. And kind of just my message is kind of to quote Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders. Ooh, get back on the train. Yeah. Ooh. Ah, oh, oh, back on the Lions train.
Yeah! Woo!
That's it.
Thank you, UJ. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. No, don't worry. I mean, as we were mentioned, I mean, or somebody was saying, Lions are 8-3. Like, this is, you know, it was a bad game. And Thanksgiving's obviously a very important game to us. We want to win that one. And it's been a long time since they have. But nonetheless, we want to thank everybody for listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
We'll be back later this week. We'll probably release it on Thursday like we usually do, where the Lions will be traveling to New Orleans. And it's like a mini bye week, right, when they're playing these Thursday games. It's a little extra. You know, the Thursday games are nice in terms of, like, the reward you get after is, like, a longer layoff in between games, which only benefits this right. team with the health issues. So the Lions will be traveling there, and we'll be releasing the episode Thursday. So look for it on Apple, Spotify, where you get your podcast. Download it. Please subscribe. Please leave a review. Greatly appreciate that. We want to know your thoughts about this Lions team. Where do you think they're going to end up by the end of the year? And you can send that to us at Instagram, which is at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter/X at Drinking Lions. You can also email us at on Gmail. That's Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid at gmail.com. If you have any opinions you want us to share on the podcast, thank you to SidelineReport.com for sponsoring the podcast. And thank you to our producer,
Kid J.
All right. Thanks to our producer, Kid J. And his, you know, we've mentioned it before. He's a Rams fan. And his Rams are just one game out of the playoffs, so he's not out of it either. Still on the edge of his seat, but they're not out of it. They're along with the Packers at 5-6. So, anyways, we want to thank everybody for listening. We'll be back later this week. And thank you to all our listeners. We greatly appreciate you. Don't worry, we're 8-3. We got this, baby. So, last but not least, as always,
go.
Down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.